How's it going, everybody? This is Cole with Through the Valley. Just want to welcome you back to the podcast. It has been a few weeks since our last episode, so I just want to apologize for getting this out to you guys late, but it's just been a wild past few weeks for me and my family. So ministry has been booming. All the college students are just back on campus, and the spring has just been busy. They're on spring break right now, so I got a little time to kind of recoup and get my thoughts back in order for the podcast. Also had COVID a few weeks ago in February, so that wasn't fun. It left me with a nasty sinus infection for a week after, and even now I'm just feeling a little shortness of breath, and it's been weird, drowsiness throughout the day. So needless to say, my productivity towards the podcast has been a bit lacking. So I appreciate your grace in waiting a few weeks for the next episode. But I'm excited to get back. We are continuing our series on exploring depression, really, and exploring just different facets of it. So far we've looked at what is depression from a biblical standpoint. So two episodes back, go check that out. And then the last episode we looked at the myth of have more faith. And so this is kind of the phenomenon when in a depressed state, when someone may tell you to have more faith or to pray more, how that really isn't the best advice for those suffering with these types of problems, but rather showing the believer how in their seasons of depression, how true faith is about trusting God even in the hardest moments and bringing Him your heart. And we looked at the Psalms where David does that, and then Psalm 42, you know, crying out to God and asking Him questions even in the darkest moments of life, and how Jesus is with us even in those darkest moments, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, things not yet seen, and our faith is definitely in a loving Savior who is constant and never changes, and so we have faith in a faithful and loving Savior, not in our emotions or in even our moods or our ability to keep up a certain mood. Just exploring these different facets. This week, we're going to reach out to the topic of reaching out to others and how people with depression often struggle to reach out for help. And so we're just going to explore that a little bit. But I wanted to start with an article that I found on Christianity Today. So they have a lot of articles just about mental health in the Christian life, and I think they do a pretty good job. But I just want to share this one article that I found. And it's written by a woman named Kayla Stockline. Don't know if I'm saying her last name right. But the title of it is, I Was a Pastor's Wife, and Then Suicide Made Me a Pastor's Widow. So I found this article to be pretty powerful, and I'm thankful for her for writing this and for Christianity Today for posting this. So you can find it on their website. Just type in Christianity Today, I Was a Pastor's Wife, and it'll probably pop up. So I'll give credit here to this article. But basically, she starts, her story was, you know, she got married young, and then her husband, Andrew, was a pastor. So she was a pastor's wife. And so she begins talking about in 2015 when he took a lead pastor role, that there were many areas of ministry that she didn't think about growing up in church. She says, quote here, that ministry was everything. Our entire world revolved around the local church and the calling God had placed on Andrew's life. His calling had become my calling, his passion, my passion, his purpose, my purpose. And then in 2018, after battling through a season of burnout, depression, and anxiety, her beloved husband, Andrew, tragically died by suicide. And she goes on a bit later to talk about how she didn't expect it and how it, all of a sudden, you know, in ministry, it seemed like, you know, someone that was in the ministry could never happen to them. But all of a sudden, her life turned into a sad story on the internet. And she watched as, quote, images of my life and pictures of my family made headlines all around the world. We were thrust into the spotlight in an instant. She says, while the world was watching, leaning in, listening close, I chose to speak. I wouldn't let suicide get the last word. Just 3 days after he went home to heaven, I wrote him a letter and posted it to our family blog. Your name will live on in a powerful way. And then she goes on to say, quote, what I noticed early on and what I've learned these last few years is that Andrew's story isn't uncommon. And then she was writing in September, but she says, this week marks National Suicide Prevention Awareness Week. And sadly, year after year, the American church loses more of its leaders to suicide. Many pastors and people serving in ministry positions struggle with their mental health. And sadly, they don't always feel like there is space for them to share their struggles with their peers or congregants. Fear of losing their job, fear of losing their platform, fear of losing their voice, fear of losing respect from their peers is all a very real reality. From my experience with Andrew, I've learned how important it is for the church to set up leaders to respond when they inevitably find themselves in a season of ministry fatigue. Every pastor needs a safe circle of people with whom they can be vulnerable. They need close friends and a trusted community where they can let their guard down, take off their pastor hat, and just be themselves. Andrew would often say, it's lonely at the top, but it doesn't have to be. We were never created to do life alone. It doesn't work. I just really appreciate Kayla taking the time to write this. And I think it really points to something that is more endemic in our society, even to those who are in ministry, even those whom we would consider Christian leaders, struggling with this phenomenon of not feeling like they can reach out. And, you know, sadly, as in her story, her husband took her own life. He was a ministry leader. He was a pastor, but he took his own life. And there were lots of reasons that led into that. And I want to speak delicately to that, but it really comes down to the stigma, and we don't feel as if we can reach out. So that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. How do we reach out anyways? How do we reach out even in the midst of our depression, and why that is so important to do? So the title of this episode is Reach Out Anyways. And this is your host, Cole, with Through the Valley, and let's get into it. All right, welcome back to the podcast. This is your host, Cole. We always start with scripture. So our scripture for today comes from the fifth chapter of James. James is writing to the church dispersed all over the world at this point, and he's just writing practical instruction and wisdom for them, how to live out the gospel in their daily lives. And at the end of his letter, he writes just practical questions and admonitions, and really an invitation for the church to be the church. And I love these verses from chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Let me read them for you. James says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Then in verse 16, he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I love these verses. It's just practical. He's telling the church to be the church, right? If anyone is among you suffering, let him pray. If anyone's cheerful, let him sing. It reminds me of Paul's verse in Romans when he says that we weep with those who weep, but rejoice with those who rejoice. And this is really powerful. This is the church. And we have to have a proper understanding of what the church is, especially when we're talking about reaching out in mental health. You know, the world, you can go to many places for security, many places for help. But biblically, the church should be the safe haven for sinners. It should be the safe haven for those who are sick. It should be the hospital for those who are in need of a savior. I've often heard it said like that, the church is a hospital for the sick. It's a hospital for sinners. Jesus himself said, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And those who are healthy have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick know their need. So the church should be the first safe haven for those who struggle for mental illness. And sadly, in the American church, at least, it's not happening. And we know it's not happening. And Andrew's story is a perfect example of that, what we looked like. I mean, he was a ministry leader, and he was a pastor, and he didn't feel as if there was any space for him to open up about what he was struggling with internally. So I find this is a very common problem, and I want to explore it in this podcast. The problem of isolation and not feeling as if you can talk to anyone in your seasons of depression. And what we're going to really explore in this episode is really the two-sided coin to this, because on the one side, it is the responsibility and call of the church to care for brothers and sisters and to be there for each other and to be on the lookout for those who are hurting and sick and in need of help and in need of care. On the other hand, for the sufferer, it is really important to put yourself in the proper environments and put yourself in the proper perspective even on your condition, that having a realistic view of who you are, that just because you deal with something like this doesn't make you less than. And as Andrew was talking about, the shame that may come about from talking about this as a pastor, the fear of losing credibility, the fear of losing reputation, the fear of others not understanding, I think it's all cyclical, right? I mean, in our society, even now, there's stigma surrounding mental illness. And in the church, I would say there's stigma surrounding mental illness. And we looked at that really in the last episode. The phenomenon of people saying, have more faith or pray more, really shows a lack of understanding about what a mental condition is, such as depression. It's a lack of understanding about our life in a broken and sinful world and how even those who have great, deep faith can experience heartache. Just as someone loses a family member and there's a grieving process there, we want to allow that person room to grieve their loss. And we wouldn't just say, get over it, you know, get up and move on. No, you have a right to grieve and there's a time for grieving. In the same way, the things that may cause seasons of depression, and there are various causes of it. We can't point to one thing. I mean, it could be you lost a loved one. It could also be you're just, it's winter and it's cold outside. It gets dark early and you're just not getting enough vitamin D and it feels sad, you know? I mean, seasonal depression's real too. It could be just a lack of feeling like you have purpose just due to maybe a situation in life or not having a community. I mean, there's so many different things that can lead into depression, but the point remains the same. We should realize that depression is a serious state that is not just a lack of faith, but it can be caused by many other things. And so just saying to have more faith or to pray more, to move on, really shows a lack of understanding, which then leads the sufferer to feel as if the church or their church community doesn't care. This is often how I felt in seasons of depression, like when I would hear, you know, just have more faith, God will bring you through it. It doesn't feel like that in the moment. And when someone isn't simply there to just listen and to understand and sympathize with my weakness in the moment, it really feels as if they don't understand what I'm going through. So I want to really move into this topic, reach out anyways. And I want to start kind of with this phenomenon that happens in depression. And this really comes from my own experience, but if you've went through depression, I guarantee you have felt the same way. Really, in my seasons of depression, maybe when I'm in a depressed mood, there's something that happens that is like a dual-edged sword. It's in those moments, I want someone so bad to understand what I'm going through. I just want somebody with me that can maybe sit there and just, you know, put a hand on my shoulder and be like, I know what it's like. I know what you're feeling. It's going to be okay. But on the other hand, I struggle so bad because in those moments, I would never wish upon anyone those feelings, that feeling of being in a depressed state. And so with that, I don't want to be a burden to anyone. And I think this is what a lot of people with depression struggle with, is feeling as if they are a burden to other people because of their problem, right? Because depression isn't just a one-day thing. It's not just a sad mood where you wake up the next day and you're fine. You know, this lasts over multiple days, multiple weeks, even for months for some people. And over time, those whom you're around as a depressed person, you begin to worry as if they are being burdened by your burden. Because, like, think about it. I mean, if you are a spouse or a parent and you're going through a depressed state, your depression is going to affect how effective and how really fruitful and involved you are with your family. And so depression over time can wear on other people, and it's important to recognize that. But the sufferer often feels as if they are becoming a burden to the people they are around. And this is, it's one of the worst feelings ever. Feeling as if your problem is just so internal and so just not worth dealing with, because there's various reasons to that you become a burden to other people. And then on the other side, for those who haven't gone through depression, it is really hard to understand why someone can be in a depressed state for weeks on end. Like, if you've never gone through depression, it's really easy to think that way. It's, you know, I don't understand, you know, all the times I've been sad in my life, I can get over it in a few days. And so even for those who are caring for the depressed person, it can become taxing because, I mean, you love them and you want to care for them, and it's becoming a burden on you because they're hurting and they're sad and they're not themselves. So depression doesn't just happen in a bubble. It happens within families. It happens within a community. It happens within the church. It happens within a society and daily lives. And so people's lives are affected all around by this, not just the sufferer, but also the family or the friends of the sufferer. But this is something, as a sufferer, that's important to recognize, is that feeling of being a burden, that we got to address that. We got to tackle that. So let's hit that head on. Where does that come from, and what's the solution to it? And I think the gospel has profound implications for this. So first of all, as a sufferer, if you feel as if your burden is too heavy to carry, this is where I would just say it anyway. Reach out to someone, reach out to a friend, reach out to someone that can understand, who can just sit there and listen. And if you feel like you don't have that, I pray you would find a good church community. I think that churches need to be active in promoting community. It's not just a Sunday morning venture where we go and sing songs and, you know, and don't talk to anybody and leave. Like, that's not being the church. The church is the body of Christ. A body works, a body breathes, a body lives, and the church has to be active throughout the week. And so I would really press it, and I'll speak to ministry leaders here. If you're a ministry leader, start promoting small group environments within your church. At our church, we have small group environments called life groups, and it's where we get together every week to study the Bible, to fellowship. And within that, we get to know each other as the body of Christ. And then outside of that, make time for each other. Have each other over in your homes. Invite someone over to dinner. Meet them for coffee on a Saturday morning. And ask the hard questions. Ask, how was your life? I'm not just speaking to ministry leaders here. I'm speaking to lay people as well. Like, if you're not a pastor, you are called to be the body of Christ. And so let's start doing that for each other. But getting back to really that feeling of being a burden to the sufferer, I would say, reach out anyways. And I think the best context for this is the local church. That if you don't have someone in your local church or in your family that will just sit and listen to you for an hour, find that. Please reach out. And it starts there. I know that it's harder than it seems, because you think at the very beginning, no one's going to listen to me, no one's going to care. But this is where I think we need to have the gospel come into our lives. The gospel frees us from shame. The gospel frees us from even other people's view of us. Paul says in Galatians 1:10 that he no longer lives to please man, but he lives to serve the Lord. And if he lived to please man, it would be people-pleasing. And he says that. I would be living for people's approval. I think even in our depressed states, we're afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to really bring out the darkness that is in our hearts. But this really has to come to bear with the gospel. And think about this. Jesus Christ came to the world. It says in John that he knew what was in the hearts of men. And Psalm 139 says that he sees our innermost parts. He made us, he knit us together in our mother's womb. There's no place where we can go apart from his presence. And if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit within you, that he sees the depths of your heart. So in a sense, there's no place you can go to where you can escape God. There's no place you can go, even in your depression, in your mind, where you can escape and become a bubble to yourself. Rather, Jesus came into the world and he saw you for who you are. He sees me, he sees you for who you are with every thought you have, even in your depressed mood. He knows that, he sees it, but yet he came anyway, and he came to die for us and give his life so that we could be reconciled to God. If you're in Christ, just because you are in a depressed state or in a depressed season, you are reconciled to God. You are still with God. God is for you. He is with you. That doesn't change. And so in the Christian life, this is really what it comes down to. We feel as if we have to perform. We have to maintain a certain mood. We have to maintain a certain level of spirituality or Christian maturity. And so even when the hard times of life hit, we feel like we can't be open with another person because we're not having enough faith. So really, it's all interconnected to our last episode, that we feel as the sufferer as if we're not having enough faith. And if people only knew what was really going on in our minds, then they wouldn't love us. They wouldn't accept us. This has to stop right here, and you have to meet Jesus, because Jesus meets you in that place. I've often heard Tim Keller say it this way. He's a pastor in New York. He says, the only God who can see you to the depths of your heart, to the very bottom of who you are, also loves you to the skies. I think that's just such a beautiful reminder. And Chris Tomlin, in one of his songs, has a line that's, he sees the depths of your heart, yet loves you the same, which is the same idea that God is the only one who can see to the depths of your heart. Like, everything is exposed before God. All your thoughts, your innermost being is exposed before him. You know, what does he do? He loves you. He provided a way that you could be with him and have fellowship with him, even in your darkest moments. Hebrews 4:15-16 says that Jesus is your great high priest. That basically means he's the one you go to meet with God. And this is why he's our great high priest. It says he's not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but has been made like us in every way, but yet he knew no sin. And then what does it say? It says, therefore, enter God's throne room of grace with boldness and confidence. Go to him with confidence and boldness, because you will receive mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. And then Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. In those moments when we feel like no one will listen to us, no one will care in our depression, Jesus, the God of the universe, the one who made the heavens and the earth and made your heart, is saying to you, come to me, cry out to me from the depth of your soul, bring me who you are. And what does he do? He brings us in with loving arms, and like a gentle shepherd, he leads us to still waters. Our God is so gracious. And it's because we live in this idea that we have to perform, even before God, that we feel as if we have to hide, that we can't reach out to another person, that we can't be honest about our depression and even the dark and morbid thoughts that go through our minds. We have to rid ourselves of this thinking, and it first starts with a right view of who you are in the gospel, that there's no condemnation in Christ. Take that seriously, that there is no condemnation for you, that when God looks upon you, he sees the perfection of Jesus. Even in your worst day, he sees the perfection of Jesus. So run to him. The invitation of Scripture is clear. Come to God. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. He is compassionate. His love is as high as the heavens are above the earth, and his grace is as deep as the ocean. You got to start there. And I think when we have this proper view, then it's so much easier to reach out to another person. And I think, just think of the person in your life that reflects the love of Christ like that most deeply. The one that maybe you've gone to before with your problems and have been able to just bear them out, and they listen to you with a gentle ear. So go to them. Go to that person with your depressed state. Reach out anyways. And so I want to kind of just continue this theme, now really addressing the church's responsibility in this, because you know, the sufferer is just one part of the body of Christ. We are part of a whole body of Christ, knit together, each part having its function and working together so that we all grow together. And as James says, that we take care of each other. As Paul says in Romans, that we rejoice with those who rejoice, yet weep with those who weep. And this is where the church has to come together. And I would say if you've never been through a season of depression or anxiety, the best place to start is to read up on people who have, to look online. And just like the story that I found at the beginning about Kayla and her husband, and tragically, read up on people who have written about this. There are just great resources out there, books, even people like Charles Spurgeon who went through depression. Start reading up on great saints of the past who have gone through the depths of despair so that you can gain a better understanding and a sympathy for your brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer with these things, because it's real. We can't just blink an eye and think in the church that these things are going to go away. I mean, it's real. Depression is real, and I guarantee you right now, someone in your church is suffering with major depressive disorder. I guarantee it. I guarantee someone is struggling with general anxiety disorder or panic attacks. I guarantee it. I know it because I've been the person in the pew who has been the one who has struggled with it. It's such an unseen thing because of this phenomenon that the depressed person feels like they can't reach out. They feel as if they're going to be a burden. And so it's really up to the church to have an open eye and to maybe see a brother or sister that has been, you know, not themselves lately, has stopped really coming to the church's activities. If you know them, they maybe once were pretty normal and joyful and stable, but now have just, you know, been kind of gloomy. I mean, go back to the first episode in our series of depression and just listen to those symptoms. It's not that we want to peg people out for depression. I mean, it has to be on both sides. The sufferer has to open up, but the church has to be on the lookout. The church has to be aware of these things and provide safe environments, like I talked about, maybe in small group settings or life groups or one-on-one coffees, where relationships can be formed to where these things can start to come to the light. Because what happens is when these things are kept in the darkness, and as sadly we read from Andrew's story, even pastors can feel so isolated. The amount of pastors that struggle with depression would blow your mind. There's statistics out there. I've heard at least 1 in 4 struggle with depression. It is insane because pastors feel as if they got to perform. They got to be the example of the example to their flock. And I think that's a good thing. But pastors even need healthy relationships inside the church. I think a pastor should have to be involved in a small group that he doesn't lead in his church. I think that should be required because pastors need healthy environments where they can open up people outside of their sphere that they can talk to about the demands of ministry, the hurts and the pains of ministry, the burnout that happens. But even as lay people, we need to provide environments to where we can be open with our brothers and sisters. So it starts there. It's twofold. The sufferer has to first recognize who they are in the gospel every day, remind themselves of who they are in the gospel, and then reach out anyways. Make that daring leap where you expose your heart, you expose the deepest things you struggle with to a brother or sister in Christ. Then on the flip side, the church needs to be aware. Individually, we need to prepare and read up on those who have suffered with these things so that we can have better understanding for those who are sitting in our congregations right now struggling with these things, feeling as if no one understands, no one sees them. And as someone who's been through that, and someone who has sat in the pew and has felt like no one sees them, that everybody around them is singing and is happy. And Sunday mornings can feel like that, where you feel like it's just kind of, you go in and sing and listen to a sermon and really you don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want to. You can bolt in and out. That is an environment where the depressed state breeds, where I would sit in church and feel depressed, feel as if I couldn't worship God, and just feel as if I was the only one suffering with this condition. And I feel so isolated. But it was when I started getting involved in small group environments and having a mentor and having someone I could just reach out to and someone who would listen to me that I began to see the body of Christ work in action. The body of Christ isn't just alive on Sunday morning. It has to be alive throughout the week. So we got to be there for our brothers and sisters. So I just want to end this podcast by talking about honesty and vulnerability in the church. I don't think it's appropriate for everyone to know your struggles and your sins. Like, you don't have to tell the whole church, or a pastor doesn't have to get up and spill his guts from the stage. But everyone within the body of Christ needs one or two believers that they can go to and just talk and be honest with. And I think it has to be cyclical. Like, you're pouring into somebody, you're listening to them, and then you need to have somebody that is pouring into you and listening to you. We can't assume that we're superheroes, that we can have it all together, and that if we can just, you know, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and keep living the Christian life on our own, that's just foolish thinking. God never made it that way. He gave us the body of Christ. No Christian is meant to be an island. There's a great song by 10th Avenue North called No Man Is an Island, and it's based off of a book written hundreds of years ago by a guy called No Man Is an Island, obviously. But the whole point is no Christian even is an island, that we need each other. And I think that is so true, that just as we depend upon the earth for our food and the trees for our air, we depend upon the body of Christ for our nourishment and our care in our spiritual, our mental, and even our emotional lives. And all of this starts with Christ, who is our great high priest. He's the one that we can go to every day, even when we feel as if no one will listen. But it should extend into his body. If we are the body of Christ, we should be that for each other. We should be gentle shepherds who listen to each other and lead each other to still water over and over. And we must recognize that in the times that we ourselves need that water, that we need to reach out to the body of Christ and be there for each other. It's all about bearing burdens together. It's all about being the body of Christ, and it starts with honesty. It starts with getting rid of this performance mentality in Christianity. And I think a lot of this has to do with social media. Get off social media for 3 weeks and start noticing how your life becomes less performative, where you feel like you can only post the best stuff on social media. I don't use social media much except to post these things and to post on Facebook. And it has made my life so much better because I'm no longer thinking, what is this person going to say? Or I'm no longer seeing the best things about people's life. No one's going to post their depressed moods on Facebook. Some people do. Some people post it on Instagram. And it's good to talk about that, but it's not the place for it. That's not the church. You need environments in the church, in the local church, where you can talk about these things, reach out, where it's not cliche, where it's not just self-help, you know, God's going to get you through it, and that, which is often what we see on social media. Because how real can we be with someone on social media? There's a limitation just naturally. You need the in-person ministry of the local church, the body of Christ. So reach out anyways. Reach out to a local church. Find a gospel-centered church that provides these small group environments, that preaches the gospel, that preaches the grace that is found in Jesus, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but yet we can come to Christ fully, but yet we need each other so that we can be the body of Christ. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Through the Valley. We're going to keep trudging through our series on depression. I don't know how long it's going to last, but we're just going to keep talking about it. So if you have any ideas, please shoot me an email at throughthevalleybook@gmail.com or post it on Spotify or in Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating, a comment. Love to hear feedback from you guys. Thankful for you listening and tuning in. And let's keep walking through these valleys together as we look to our Savior, who is the one we can run to at all times. God bless.